to CinemaFino. This is a new experiment we're trying. We're going to try live the tape. We're going to see if we can behave ourselves for an entire 30-minute podcast. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, this is the test. This is a dry run.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's dry, but it's also wet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
This is a dry rub.
Yeah.
We're going to start dry, but then we're going to get wet.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of wet, what are we drinking tonight?
I'll be in the editing bay if anybody needs me. We're drinking a wine called One More Episode, When and Where Winery. This is a Shiraz 2020.
It's a lot of W's.
Uh-huh. I like that.
So, yeah.
It's a tasty.
Kind of fits our podcast theme here.
Ooh, that is nice.
Mm-hmm. You got the nice little spicy everyday Shiraz.
Yeah.
So, yeah, put this with a pizza.
Yeah. Tastes like it coats your tongue.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a pretty good summertime wine.
So. It is, yeah.
Yeah.
A little chill to it. Never hurt anything. Mm-hmm. I think it's good.
Exactly. So this for this 2-month stretch, we're going to look at summertime movies, sequels that maybe have been overlooked or forgotten by time. And so we're going to start with Batman Returns. I know we drew Hellboy 2 the first time around. And so, but because Sean's out of town, that was his movie. We're going to start with Batman Returns, which is what the movie that made me want to take a look at these in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
A Christmas film.
Mm-hmm. It is. A Christmas film that was released in June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw it the weekend it came out, believe it or not.
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same.
We could have been in the same theater. We could have been American Tail.
Yeah. Somewhere out there.
Oh, looking up at Danny DeVito's butt crack.
Jeez. You know what? When I saw this in theaters, there was like, I was sat next to a strange little boy I didn't know just because it was, the theater was packed. And at some point during there, we both got scared and then we held hands and just kept doing it.
Yeah.
But then the credits went and before the lights came up, he was gone. So, yeah.
Well, he's going to remember that.
Did you guys ever have one of those experiences?
The FBI is listening to this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, I just thought it could have been one of you guys.
Well, it wasn't.
Okay. I was clutching someone and trembling, but I don't know who it was.
he grabbed my hand, okay? I'm the one that didn't let go, though.
Mm-hmm. So, this movie came out in 1992, June 16th.
God, that seems so long.
And 29 years ago.
Sweet baby Moses.
And yeah, it's something else. So this was released 3 years after the first Batman, Tim Burton's first installment. Huge pressure to make a sequel to the movie. Tim Burton originally didn't want to do one. And so to get him back in the fold, they basically gave him wide leeway to make a sequel. You can do what you want. And so he responded by basically doing the ultimate Tim Burton movie. It was like the darkest horror, black comedy, superhero movie he could piece together. The first Batman film grossed $411 million worldwide. It was the highest grossing domestic movie, 1989.
Damn straight.
On a $40 million budget. This one grossed $285 million on an $80 million budget. So about $130 million less for twice the price.
Yeah.
So I hate to say I could see why Warner Brothers was like, we need to rethink this for next time because those numbers are going the wrong way.
Yeah.
But going back and watching the movie, I kind of get what they're saying. You know, it's like, this is not a marketable movie. This is a very dark, grim movie for superhero standards. Michael Keaton came back for $10 million salary. Supposedly, Danny DeVito and Michelle Pfeiffer and Christopher Walken also made roughly $10 million total. So like $20 million of the $80 million, which is paying the four actors to be in the movie. A lot of this movie was, I think all of it was filmed on the Warner Brothers back lot, which I've been to. The spot where...
Brag.
I got to drop that in as many times as I can. That was filmed not too far from ER. So you can actually see in some shots of Max Schreck's office, the ER, like, bay where they bring in the patients.
Oh.
Mm. And then, Stars Hollow was right behind it on the other side. So
that's pretty cool.
And then the T-Rex scene from Jurassic Park was actually filmed not too far from there. Even though that was not Warner Brothers.
They didn't film that on location in Isla Nublar or is that Isla Sorna?
It actually looks like a... It's like a regular old ditch now. You wouldn't have even guessed it that that's where they filmed it. But they basically flooded that and run in rain machines and filmed that like at night. Somebody owed Steven Spielberg a favor. So they went in there and filmed that there.
Fucking Hollyweird.
Yeah.
That is cool though.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy to walk around this place and realize that all those are filmed. Because to me, in my mind, I think of it's hard to imagine that Gotham City was probably 80 degrees during those shots.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But you know, so was there at the T-Rex site, was there like a 20-foot drop off like behind the fence? Because that has always bothered me.
No, yeah, there was not.
Okay.
That's fake.
All right.
Way to go, Steven.
Yeah. But so during these scenes where you see people in Batman Returns wearing coats and Christmas garb, it's like, it's Los Angeles.
Shit.
It's hot.
Yeah.
So, and plus you never see anybody's breath. So you got to realize that is summer probably sure. when yeah. filming that. But anyway, I'm curious to see what you guys think about this movie. It's definitely, it kind of marked a turning point in the Batman franchise because it gave Warner Brothers the license to give the franchise over to Joel Schumacher. He took in a totally different direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which then caused them to give the franchise over to Christopher Nolan, and he took it a totally different direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they gave the franchise to Zack Snyder, and no one's heard from it since.
No. Yeah. And people were sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll start. I want to hear Travis's opinions on this, on the movie, going back and watching it again.
So I always am, after a origin story for a hero, like, I'm always interested in the villains next. When you hear that they're going to throw in Penguin and Catwoman, I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That was a scary Penguin when I was a kid. Like, no shade to Danny DeVito, but he didn't need a fat suit. Like, I thought they were just going to give him a monocle, like a big fake nose, and he was going to walk around and do cool stuff with an umbrella. But no, he's got, like, black saliva. He's biting off people's noses.
Yeah.
He's groping little pollsters, like, putting buttons on. I was like, this is
frightening.
He just got to second base with this person and then bit somebody's nose off.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a deviation is that from the origin of Penguin, like his comic book origins?
Honestly, I don't know that much about Penguin. I know he was kind of a socialite. And I know he was Oswald Cobblepot. But in the movie, they've made it, you know, the whole nature versus nurture thing where they toss him over the bridge and then he gets brought up and by penguins?
By penguins, yes.
Jesus. Penguins in Gotham City, which is supposed to be Chicago. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it either.
Penguins in the sewers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sewer penguins.
Yeah. That's a band name.
Yeah, they're my favorite band. They're a punk band. They were big in the 80s. But what I really liked about it, and I didn't realize it, is that how much I like Catwoman. Because that, like, broke me into the BDSM scene. I didn't realize that was where it originated for me, with all the leather and the whips, and then like I get into like, you know, shibari, which is just like binding people like sexually.
It's good pizza too.
Yeah,
but no, Catwoman was awesome, and I thought she did great in there. Obviously, in the comics, she doesn't have like 9 lives. She's not like superhuman, immortal, or anything like that.
Yeah,
but she's the quintessential femme fatale. And comics, kind of the foil to Batman, where it's like, oh, I should take you to jail, but also you're kind of sexy. Mm-hmm. And that's no way to dispense justice. You're like, okay, you did a bad thing, but I want to fuck you, so I'm going to let you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you stole all this stuff, but
yeah.
Also, what I liked, you know, you have to give Batman somebody to fight. The Red Triangle Circus Gang was just out of the box crazy. Like the dude that has the organ grinder with the little Mickey. Batman throws dynamite on a guy and then kicks him down a well or something.
Blows him up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sets a guy on fire.
Yep.
Kills that guy.
Yep.
Batman kills quite a few people in this movie.
Yeah.
So.
And then the, Christmas pageant gal, she gets killed. I mean, not from Batman, but.
Batman technically kills Catwoman in one scene.
Yeah.
Knocks her off the building.
Yep.
And a kitty litter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kitty litter.
A little heavy on the irony.
Yeah.
But no, I enjoyed it. It was definitely a much more of a departure. I thought the Red Triangle Circus Gang would have been great for Joker. Seemed like perfect henchmen for him. But I enjoyed it. The end was super weird with the penguins that were going into town to shoot missiles. Or I don't
know. That was kind of cool. I still like that.
Yeah.
I
don't get it. But there was a lot of just like dirty talk.
Yeah,
in this, and I liked it.
Supposedly, the ending where Max Schreck gets fried was taken from an earlier draft where they were going to have Harvey Two-Face as that character.
Oh.
And basically Catwoman was going to like fry part of his face in that scene, and that was going to be how he becomes Two-Face.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was an original. And I forget who they were. I don't know if they were going to bring back Billy Dee or they're going to have somebody else playing that part. Mm. But
yeah, I didn't give a shit about Max Schreck as a kid because I'm like, this guy is not a Batman villain. He's just, he's taking up space as far as I'm concerned.
He's a tycoon.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do love some Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
You know, I as I'm older, I appreciate any nuances of his performance anyway.
As one YouTube channel pointed out, his son in the movie does a pretty good Christopher Walken impression. It's like, you know, Dad, you just go, you know.
That's right.
It's like, that's crazy. So he's probably cast because he can do a decent Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
There's also a giant rubber duck in this movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then again, most of... So Penguin is one of those Batman villains that isn't really clinically crazy in the comics. But all of Gotham villains are so, like, over the top that it doesn't seem out of place for, like, a giant rubber ducky to be there.
Yeah.
Or, like... the Mad Hatter dresses all of his henchmen up as, like, Lewis Carroll characters. So that's, you know, on brand. And then Batman stories during a holiday is, you know, pretty on brand as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed watching this movie, I wish I had a timer on it. We got about 45, 50 minutes in, and it's like Batman and slash Michael Keaton has been in this movie for maybe less than 10 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. Early. Yeah.
It's like this has been all Max Schreck, Penguin slash Selina Kyle. With occasional cutaways to Bruce Wayne, like maybe he's sitting there like in the Batcave, you know, having some cold soup. Maybe he's like driving around Gotham. Yeah. It's like he's barely in the first half of the movie. And it's like, it's amazing that they let that slide, but it lets you know how much stock these Tim Burton movies put in the villains.
Yeah.
So much more than the hero. It's like they give a lot more weight.
Well, and with that too, it's like, you know, there is no surprise in Batman Returns. Like there's, you know, the original, you know, you're looking for Batman. Like that's what you want to see. Well, we've already seen it. So I mean, that makes a lot of sense. You're like, well, we're just going to give, I didn't really pick up on that, but yeah, like let's build these other people up because we already know Batman. We already know what he does. Like let's build this up. And then that makes sense now because I didn't pick up on that early on.
Yeah. There were definitely, I caught biblical allusions in the film. It was like Penguin's born. He resurfaces 33 years later to emerge on Gotham. And then his scheme involves kidnapping the firstborn sons in Gotham and killing them, which is bizarre. Yeah. I thought, and looking back, that's, like, holy shit, that's dark.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I don't, again, not knowing that, like you say, the origin of the character, it's like that seems like a very gruesome thing to carry out.
What is this? This is... I didn't catch the thing about the 33 because same thing happens to both Superman and Batman. When Batman is younger, he goes in, goes through school and does, you know, learns whatever in college and then goes off grid and then comes back 12 to, and he's generally thought to be around 30, 33 years old.
Yeah.
Same thing with Superman. He's grew up in Smallville, then left, learned all about his origin, at least in you know, some of the origins. And then he comes back and he's like, ooh, boom, I'm Clark Kent. I'm in Metropolis now. I'm all fancy. And also around 33.
Yeah. Well, it's like when the credits are rolling and the Penguin's basket's going through the sewer, when it arrives with the Penguins, then the next title cutaway is like Gotham City 33 years later.
Huh.
So presumably, like you say, he's on a parallel course with Batman, where it's like the manor born, you know, raised in the Gotham. So they're probably around the same age, give or take.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely, I noticed the colors going back this time. It's like all blues and grays, white, silver. There's a lot of the colors been drained out of the movie. It's a very dark looking movie. Mm-hmm. It looks very wintry, but not in a fun, like Christmassy way.
Yeah.
You know, because you associate Christmas like warm lights, you know, kind of warmth, you know. But it's like, this is a very grim-looking movie, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Gentle listeners, if you're hearing cicadas in the background, it's because it's warm and we've got the door open. And so, anyway, that's if you're hearing creatures, that's what it is.
Yeah. And if you hear a cat howling in the distance, it's because he ate some toilet paper.
Oh.
So
same.
Yeah, he had some he chowed on some 2-ply.
Yeah.
Another thing I caught in this movie was some Elephant Man references where Penguin is like, he has his speech of like, you know, I'm a man, I have a name, Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's like the Elephant Man's
John Merrick.
Yeah. He's like, you know, I'm a man, I'm a human being. So that definitely, they draw allusions to the Penguin and Elephant Man, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like Caleb, those flippers.
Yes.
Let me show her my French flipper trick.
Which was Jan Hooks, SNL. She was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So, Tay, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. It's not what the first one was. You know, I saw them, oddly saw them both in theaters. The first one, like, just piggyback what you just said, the first one was very bright colors. Well, you had the Joker, so he was already bright anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It was this one, and also being a kid, not knowing all the references that I was able to go back and actually understand now. Even I remember being like, well, there was really wasn't like an quote-unquote action film like the kind of the first one was for me.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't a whole lot, but I was just like, this one just, like you said, a lot of story to it. But I just remember being as a kid, I don't remember a lot about it, but I remember seeing it and being like, I don't need to see that again. Like, you know, and I would have been like 9, I think.
Yeah.
It was like, it was just like, yeah, I don't know what that was. And looking back on it, it kind of makes me think of like Indiana Jones. It's like the first one was so great, you know, this whole like, you know, eye opening, this cool adventures. Then you had Temple of Doom, and it's like, did you really need to do this whole story? This got so elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this like was to me.
Yeah.
So it's like, you've got basically 3 villains. We're dealing with that. You're trying to introduce, you've overdone Danny DeVito.
Big
then
you
yeah. And it's like, it makes so much sense what you were saying early on. I feel like they just put a lot of shit into this.
Yeah.
Like way too much.
And it's a shame because, you know, Danny DeVito is the perfect Penguin.
Oh,
I think you couldn't build a better Penguin, you know, but yeah, they gave him all this suit and the freakish makeup, and
the suit was not good.
No.
Stringy hair.
Yeah.
And yeah, it took hours to get him into that thing.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Yeah. And they could have, like you said, given him a top hat and a monocle and that'd been just fine with it. So.
Yeah. I think it just shows us that, you know, he probably, you know, you give that person, you know, Tim Burton's a phenomenal director, but like, do whatever you want. Here's all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we see sometimes that's not for the best.
Not always.
Yeah, that is not for the best.
Yeah.
I needed more Burgess Meredith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And less actual penguins.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, what was he eating in that sewer to get that large?
I don't know.
I mean,
sewer rats.
Penguins?
Sewer rats.
I mean,
like pumpkin pie, but I never know.
Yeah.
I never eat the filthy motherfucker.
He was eating killer crocs.
Doubtful.
Michelle Pfeiffer, also.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Like I said, that you couldn't build a better Catwoman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, because, you know, stuff that you didn't think about then, because I didn't really follow these actors and actresses, but, like, that was kind of a star-studded, like,
oh, yeah,
cast.
Yeah.
You know, when you look back on it, you're like, holy shit. Like, they were, I mean, I'm always weird being like, I don't know when Danny DeVito was ever a star-studded, you know, actor.
Yeah.
But it was like, that was some pretty big names. And like, they've always had that in the Batman series. But at the same time, with all that and how it did not live up to, I think, anybody's expectations.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, especially going back and watching it now, it's disappointing.
Oh, yeah.
If I'd been, from my perspective now, I'd been pretty disappointed with it.
Were you disappointed when you saw it at the time, though?
Not at the time.
Okay, because yeah, I just wanted to, like, leave and go buy toys. Like,
yeah,
all right, Batman.
Yeah. It's like what we were saying about the MCU, where it's like, you know, when you're a kid, pizza.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is Batman, and, you know, he's got the cool Batmobile, and he's got the freaking Bat boat or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's got all this badass, like, stuff going on. He's got the little Batarang that he can program and throw at people. Pretty cool. But yeah, and then you got Catwoman and with a whip.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was...
And she was looking good.
Yeah. Yeah. Originally, Annette Bening was cast as Catwoman, and she got pregnant. And so Michelle Pfeiffer was actually the second choice.
Didn't the Finkel as Einhorn also from Ace Ventura? And then didn't she try to go on Oprah Winfrey in, like, a Catwoman outfit to try and, like, lobby for the role?
Yes, yeah.
And they were just like, what was her name?
Sean Young.
Yeah, and they were like, just hang it up, Young. Calm down.
First choice for Vicki Vale, she was.
Oh, in the first Batman.
Yeah, she was cast.
We talked about this.
Okay. Yeah. So, and just not a fan of her as an actress, I think.
I
think she's a little bit shrill. That's just my opinion.
She did great in Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she was good in the...
As Captain Winky.
She's good in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I'll give her that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I thought this... I mean, yeah, at the time, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Batman Forever when I saw it when it came out.
Honestly,
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
It's when I went back and watched it later. And
so I saw all those in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin, I thought, was absolute horse pucky.
Yeah.
Once we got down to Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, his, all right, everybody, chill. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah. That was also, I mean, we're digressing, but that was like one of the first like cyber hacking films. I'm joking. Yeah, Batgirl, like, you know, just, you know, hacking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, was that
a lot of butts in that movie.
Was that episode? Was that that one, or was that
with Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah,
yeah, she was in Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And I read an argument somewhere online that they thought that killed her career, that or at least greatly damaged it.
Yeah.
She got.
Was it in jeopardy before?
Well, you know, she was Cher Horowitz, you know, Clueless.
Yeah, she had one good. Yeah. Anyway.
And she was in the Aerosmith video.
Aerosmith. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I needed.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Batman movies definitely went downhill after this one. I mean, I think this one is definitely still better than Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Leaps and bounds. Michael Keaton is a phenomenal Batman.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's why I would like to have seen more of him in this. I'd like to have him get more screen time.
Yeah.
I thought he was great. And going back, I thought he was great as Bruce Wayne, too. You know, he's different. He definitely brings a Michael Keaton-ish spin to it.
That is true.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It also fits Tim Burton very well. They're a good match.
I will say Michael Keaton is my Batman, but Christian Bale is my Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that definitely works. And Val Kilmer is my valet.
No, he's my Iceman.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Damn.
Yeah. He's got an interesting documentary coming out on Hulu. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of similarities to Soleil Moon Frye's thing. On
that one I watched.
Yeah.
That one was interesting.
Kind of sad. I think this one's kind of sad too, apparently. So, but enough about Val.
Yeah.
So what would you guys give it? Scale of 1 to 10. Okay. What would you guys have given it? Like the kid version of you watching it.
I'd give it a 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Probably as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'd give it probably a 6. Solid 6.
I could. Yeah. I think again, I was 9, so it wasn't like I was bashing the film, but I just remember being very confused leaving the theater.
Yeah.
But I think at the time, same thing. It was just like, you know, I probably thought the penguins were really, really cool, you know, but I'd probably say the same thing, probably 8
yeah.
at the time. But, you know, now looking back, watching it, it's like, and being the completely judgmental, probably, this, you know, about 5.5, yeah. 6.
Honestly, it's,
like,
it's probably a 5, but nostalgia yeah. probably bumps it to a 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I will say, I think the older that I'm getting and I watch some of these things, I do have an odd appreciation for something that big.
Yeah.
And it was like, even though it might be dog shit, like when we watch Waterworld, you know, it's like, you still got to be like, man, kudos for fucking fighting it out. Yeah. You know, it was like, yeah. way to go. And like you guys looked around, you probably took many takes mm-hmm. of him biting somebody's nose off. And it's like, and every time you kept saying, more blood, you know, you mm-hmm. like you said, let's keep it going. So it's like, I guess you got to give them credit. Like yeah. it just blows my mind sometimes with that type of budget, what they did. And then again, sometimes the final product, they're just like, thumbs up.
Mm. Yep.
Ship it on out.
Yep.
It
was still like, got Danny Elfman for the score though.
That yeah.
Awesome music.
Did Danny Elfman stick around for forever?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
No. And Tim Burton stuck around as a producer. I'm sure that was just as a paycheck.
Yeah.
He didn't have a whole lot of influence on Batman Forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was one of the biggest films ever made at the point that it was made. I mean, it's one of the biggest productions. A huge amount of money poured into this thing. And like you say, it's like watching somebody at the World Series of Poker push all their chips out to the table. Yeah. You know, it's like you can't help but respect the balls of that. I'm like, we're going all in with this dark, dark comic book movie.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I'm kind of liking it to the, was it the Todd Phillips Joker? He directed that one, right?
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, you know, I remember going to see it in theaters and seeing the sign that said, you know, this is not a comic book movie,
mm-hmm.
rated R, this is not a child-friendly movie.
Yeah.
You know, that probably could have warranted for this one.
Yeah.
For, you know, it's like, you know... And I'm, you know, even with the original Batman, watching it was still kind of like when you like, man, my parents let me watch this. I was like, terrible parents. Yeah. But you know, the second one, I'm still blown away, and I will actually probably continue to watch it just as something like I need to put this on, and like you pick up on these little bitty things just here and there. But God bless. It, mad respect for doing it, but sweet baby Moses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just rough.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I feel. I think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Probably a six. A lot of that's nostalgia.
Yeah.
And going back to childhood. And I think there'll be a lot of that on this list.
Oh, yeah.
For me, of like Ghostbusters 2 and a lot of these other movies. It's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Kino.
Yeah. It's like there's going to be a lot of nostalgia. And a lot of these will get bumped up from the fact that I saw them so many times as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
You can't help but do that.
Yeah.
And there's actually a chemical in the brain that causes that, that effect of you tend to look better on stuff from the past like that. You tend to have fonder memories of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, also, I saw something the other day that was interesting to me is that, like, the reason that people, like, rewatch shows like The Office or Friends over and over and over again, like, even though they've seen them, you know, 15 times, yeah. is that, especially with people that have, like, anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like, it's comforting. That's how it, like, actually feels like home. It's like listening to one of your favorite songs, and you just know what's coming next, yeah. And it just, like, you know, scratches and pleases that little corner of your brain. Mm-hmm. That's why I feel with, like, somebody mentioned on Facebook the other day, Fern Gully, and I was like, man, fuck yeah, Fern Gully. Anytime a teacher in middle school was, like, hung the fuck over, and they're like, guys, we're going to turn the lights down, and we're going to pop in a movie. I don't know how many times I watched Fern Gully. There was a lot of my education that went by the wayside.
Yeah, it's Robin Williams.
Because I was watching Robin Williams as Batty, and I fucking love it.
Yeah.
And Tone Loke, I believe, as a lizard.
That's his best role ever.
Yeah.
Were there multiple phone goals?
I think there was a sequel. I don't know if I saw it.
But it wasn't like Land Before Time.
There wasn't like 17 of them.
Yeah.
No. And Hexus, one of the greatest villains ever. His song was awesome.
Did you guys ever see A Troll in Central Park?
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Dom DeLuise?
Yeah, that was rough. Teachers are real hungover. They're showing that one. What you just described, though, is parenthood, like taking care of like an 18-month-old. It's like they say kids really thrive on doing the same stuff over repetitiveness because they change so fast, they grow so fast, they develop so quickly, they have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's comfort to read the same stories over and over.
Maybe like the little infant penguin, Oswald Cobblepot, had anxiety and just, you know, probably getting shit on by all those other penguins.
Literally,
penguins, baby bird, they're young. They chew up fish and then...
I'm sure they do.
I guess I'll ask Danny DeVito. He probably did the research.
Surprised we didn't see that scene in the movie. But this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. Our first live at the tape experience.
I hope you enjoyed. There was no editing. We didn't say fuck once.
Yeah.
No. Fuck no.
I may have, but whatever. It is what it is. You know, fuck it.
But fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we will see you guys next time. And... thank you very much.
Bye.
Signing off.
To learn more about Cinema Vino, check out our website at cinemavino.net. You can also listen, rate, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at toddwoffordmovies.com.